Here's a thought I'll title Panoramas in Books. An almost unsolvable problem exists with the challenge of including panorama images in books. The simple truth is the aspect ratio of a book is never going to match the aspect ratio of a panorama image, and so some sort of compromise has to be made. If you put a panorama image on a normal-sized, say, a coffee table art book on a single page, then the panorama is so small, it seems almost silly, and there's a tremendous amount of white space left on the page. One solution that people often employ is they split the image onto two facing pages, what's called jumping the gutter being the spine where the book is. So the left half of the panorama is on the left page, the right half of the panorama is on the right page, but there's that funny little part in the dead center of the photograph where both pages sort of disappear into the spine and you miss some information. It's better than nothing, but it's not one of my favorite designs. Another solution is what's called a gatefold. This is where you have a page that's bound into the book, but it also is folded so that you can take the right side of it and hold it out, and now the page is twice as wide as the book is, and you can see a panorama that way, but you've got a crease going down the middle of the image where the page has been folded. Sometimes you can even do a double gatefold so that you pull it out from the left and pull it out from the right and jump the gutter, and you can get a great big pano. The problem with gatefolds is that they're very expensive from a binding point of view in the production of a book. It's just about the most expensive thing you can do, particularly if it's a hardbound using what's called a Smythe sewing. Those individual sheets are very difficult to sew in the midst of all of that, and so it ends up being something that's done by hand and ends up a pretty expensive addition. And to have a whole bunch of those in a book would make it sort of ridiculously expensive. Then, of course, there's the world of digital display, which also is not very well set up for panorama images. Probably the closest thing is maybe the computer screen, because it is a little longer in width than it is in height, and so a pano image fits a computer screen better, but still not perfectly, not to the normal proportions that people use for a panorama image. So what do you do? Well, the best answer I've ever come up with is the simple folio design. And if you're familiar with what I've done in folios, it makes sense because you can have individual images on individual sheets, and you can make them any size you want, any width you want, any dimension or aspect ratio you want. You just have to make the cover fit the pages of the individual images, so it ends up being a big panoramic folio. That's the best method I've ever seen for presenting a panorama. Which is not ideal, but at least it's not a compromise with trying to squeeze a panorama into a format that's not designed for a panorama. These panorama folios look awfully good, to be honest. And its biggest disadvantage, of course, is it's not a commercial thing like a commercially printed book would be. But we've done a couple of them, and they work. There is one other exception that's worth mentioning in this, and that is a couple of the books that Michael A. Smith did before he passed away, where he actually made a panorama-sized book. I have one of them. And the odd thing that he did is he put the binding at the top. So rather than have the binding on the left-hand side where you open from page to page and flip, the binding goes on the top. You lift each page up and then move it farther away from you, so you're revealing pages one by one, just like you do in a book. You can print on both sides, just like you can do in a book, but you end up with this very strange binding scenario, and then try to fit it on your bookshelf. It just doesn't go very well. But it is a way to do a commercially printed panorama book, if you're so interested.